business, and the latest information. This is a Bloomberg Radio Business Flash.
From Bloomberg World Headquarters in New York, I'm Doug Krisner. Watching a rally in the stock market, the S&P is headed for its best two-day gain in nearly 2 years. This began yesterday when the Fed pledged patience in terms of boosting interest rates. We have the Dow Industrial Average at a session high, gain of 336 points, a gain of 2% to 17,692. The S&P better by 2%, the NASDAQ higher by 2% as well. Crude oil, the other big story. During the regular session, it finished down to $54.11 the barrel. Right now in electronic trading, we're at $54.64. Still, that's a loss of more than 3%. This, as Russian President Vladimir Putin said, his country must prepare for oil as low as $40 the barrel. 10-year Treasury right now at a yield of 2.2%. Back to Taking Stock and Michael McKee as we approach the closing bell.
Thank you, Doug Krisner. Bloomberg's Taking Stock is brought to you by Renaissance Capital, provider of pre-IPO research and issuer of IPO-focused ETFs. Putting the new economy to work in investors' portfolios, visit renaissancecapital.com and receive free IPO market updates.
You two are going to be in a room alone with Kim. And the CIA would love it if you could take him out.
For kimchi?
No, take him out.
You want us to kill the leader of North Korea?
Yes.
What? All right, that's about as close as you're going to get to seeing or hearing The Interview, the Sony Pictures movie that featured the assassination of the leader of North Korea, because after a hack attack on Sony's computers that the U.S. government blames on North Korea, but nobody knows exactly for sure, the company has canceled the showing of the movie. They couldn't find any movie theaters that really wanted to take a chance on showing it, and so they said, we're not going to put it out there. Ross Gerber is chief executive officer of Gerber Kawasaki in Los Angeles, and we've got Paul Sweeney, senior media and internet analyst for Bloomberg Intelligence with us. Gentlemen, did Sony make the right choice? Ross, did they have any choice but to pull this movie back?
Well, Sony did have a choice, and, you know, my personal feeling is they made a horrible choice, and my sources in Hollywood also feel the same. They've set a very, very bad precedent of being having content censored by a rogue regime just based off threats. And this can just grow and grow, not only in Hollywood, but in various other industries. If we allow these cyber threats to prevent us from our fundamental freedoms like freedom of speech, where does it end? I mean, Argo won the Academy Award. Imagine if Iran threatened to hack Argo, we would have never seen that movie. So, you know, this is a horrible precedent. Sony made just a series of poor decisions after poor decisions with this whole situation, I think.
Paul, do you think that the fear that they expressed of future cyber attacks and what Ross is talking about, that this could happen to other people or be threatened to other people, is that a real danger?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I certainly agree with Ross in terms of it setting a very dangerous precedent. And, you know, I know, you know, speaking to some of the other media companies just over the last couple of days, they're obviously taking this very seriously. In this particular case, you know, the theater owners kind of drove the bus here a little bit by saying that when you get the big theaters chain saying that they're not going to run the film, you know, it kind of gives a little bit of cover to Sony. But still, it definitely a bad precedent here. But, you know, Sony's probably sitting back and saying, listen, this is a $100 million film. You know, what's the risk reward here? And I think they probably made more of a business decision more than anything else.
Ross, let me ask this. This was a decision made not really by an American company, by a Japanese company, and sensitivities towards Korea are very different in Japan than in the United States. Should we step back and maybe give them the benefit of the doubt, given the geopolitical situation that they face versus what we do? I mean, North Korea is a long way away from us, a bit of a pipsqueak country, but a real threat to the Japanese.
Well, you know, first of all, if you read through the hacked emails, which I have, they knew from the beginning of the development of this film the risk that they took. It was more than discussed. Certainly the executives all the way up to Japan green-lighted this film, knowing the risks that it posed. They certainly could have used a fictional leader of North Korea or whatever, and they made those decisions. So that was the first bad decision. If you're not willing to stick with the decisions you made at the beginning, they shouldn't have been made that way at the beginning. But they were. And The second thing is several of the theater chains are owned by the Chinese, like AMC theaters, so that also might have influenced the decision. But I don't think that North Korea has, like, sleeper cells in the United States, like they're going to, like, bomb theaters or anything. They've basically just bowed to a threat. I don't know what they could hack from a theater owner that would be so salacious. But, you know, the bottom line is, and I think there's a big debate in New York about what Howard Stern compared it to 9/11, which I think is extreme, but I think his point is it's a huge attack on our basic freedom here in America, and if we don't do anything about it, and it doesn't matter if it's Sony is a Japanese company or, you know, we're a multi-international world, everybody does business here, but what I care about is, A, I want to see the movie. The movie looks great. I love Seth Rogen. And B, I can't see the movie now. How am I going to see it? Of North Korea?
Can we not see the movie, or is it going to get released at some point somehow?
Well, they said that they weren't releasing it at all. I think they should release it free on iTunes so that everybody sees it. That's the best way they could fight back, is by, you know, diving into the fire. They've already been hacked. They already have everything. We know that there is a lot of bad material in these emails because a lot of people in Hollywood have questionable behavior, and that was discussed in email. I mean, the stories that are already coming out are pretty horrible. But, you know, they shouldn't be typing that in emails in the first place. And secondly, you've got to stick behind your art. There's many, many people who have died for their right for freedom of speech. And I just think it's sad that we've let them terrorize us.
Well, that's a great idea. Maybe, you know, Kim Jong-un has an iPhone, and just like you too, you could put it out free, and it gets automatically downloaded.
Yeah, like that U2 album.
Yeah. Paul Sweeney, what does this cost Sony besides goodwill?
You know, I mean, you know, there's obviously the all-in cost of this movie is, you know, approaching $100 million. Then there's the home video revenues, you know, which could be something of a similar number there. So, you know, all in, it's at least a couple hundred million dollars to Sony Entertainment, which, you know, given the size of Sony Entertainment, isn't that big of a deal, believe it or not. But clearly it's a reputational issue for Sony within Hollywood that, you know, they're not standing behind one of their films. They're not standing behind the producers, or the directors, the writers. And Hollywood is very much of a relationship town where deals get done based in large part on relationships. So definitely some work for them to repair there, also with the theater owners as well. So this is a very difficult time for Sony Entertainment in particular, and then obviously for Hollywood and intellectual property in general.
Is there a cost to Hollywood, again, other than reputational, a cost to Hollywood broader than to just Sony here?
Well, we'll see. We'll see the box office. I think it's a really interesting time of year. The box office, we're coming up here, is the second most important box office time of the year after the summer. And the question is, will this affect other movies coming out or in the theaters during this time, which is key for the theater owners and for the studios. So I think everybody's kind of holding their breath to see how the box office comes out over the next several weeks.
Yeah, Ross, you wanted to get
it. I think the box office is going to be really strong. There's some great movies coming out. I don't think people actually care that much or are living in fear over, once again, like North Korea's sleeper cells blowing up theaters or anything. You know, I think it's just fantastical. People watch too much TV. The reality is what this does to creative expression and people willing to take on topics that we want to know about. Let's say Russia, Iran, and North Korea. Now we can't make movies about this because anytime they threaten us, we just bow down to the pressure. The other issue is, and I can't seem to think, what can we do as a government to protect our citizens from this in the future? And what kind of repercussions should we have to North Korea? Because they're already sanctioned, they're already a pariah from the world. What can we do to stop it and to punish them for what I consider a major breach of our rights?
Well, Ross asked the question. Paul, how would you answer it in terms of what we could do?
This is obviously a tough policy issue, national security policy issue, but I think it's something just in terms of, you know, intellectual property that affects a number of you know, walks of life or a number of industries, not just the internet and movie studios, but just kind of intellectual property in general. And that's a key issue globally. But clearly Hollywood's going to have to figure out a strategy here because, again, as we suggested, a very troubling precedent has been set here. And it's something that Hollywood's going to have to figure out a way. And just the whole creative community in general is going to have to figure out a way to address going forward because I think everybody agrees that this is not the optimal outcome here.
Ross, last word from you. Sony have anything else in the pipeline that's threatened by this?
Well, they released several of their upcoming movies online, and they also stole several of the scripts. So there's a lot of very valuable intellectual property that they're actually putting out there for their rivals, for others. It's really damaging to the entire company in so many ways, not to mention reputationally. I'm sure Amy Pascal is going to have a hard time at her, you know, holiday parties, you know, when, you know, you're insulting half the people you do business with. But, you know, I do see this as very damaging. Sony already was having a bad year. They already are kind of a company in trouble. And now I think they'll recover from this, but I think that a lot more than $100 million of damage has been done, not only just with reputation, future projects, trashing this project. And once again, if I'm Seth Rogen, I'm not going to Sony again to make my next movie.
No,
I'll go somewhere that will back me because they approved this movie, you know?
Yeah, I would assume. Assume that is correct. Ross Gerber, Chief Executive Officer of Gerber Kawasaki in Los Angeles, and Paul Sweeney from Bloomberg Intelligence. Thank you both for being with us. We're just minutes away from the close. All the major indexes up more than 2%. We'll get the final numbers coming up in just a moment here on Taking Stock.